Welcome to the Electric Monks Podcast, Episode 7. I want to invade Switzerland.
Hang on, that's not the title.
I really mean it. I'm going to invade Switzerland.
Hey Craig, what are you doing? No, Craig, no! Don't do that!
You can't stop me, Edward. The Swiss cheese will be mine.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Electric Monks Podcast. I'm your host, Ed.
I'm Nemo, good morning, and I want to invade Switzerland.
But don't we all?
I don't know how, I wonder.
If you can think of a good reason. The episode we're doing this time is the first episode of the 2012 full series of the BBC4 Dirk Gently series that originally aired on 5th of March 2012. Oddly, it's specifically set in April because they mention it in the episode, so I wonder if they'd anticipated it maybe airing later in the season or something. Or
speaking from only being able to awareness of British TV from halfway around the planet, I have noticed that the announcements of when things are going to be aired is often quite close to the actual air dates, so they may have made it with only knowing a vague sense of when it was going to air, and it ended up being earlier than expected, and, well, what do you do?
Well, it's better being early than being late, because then people who are watching it maybe on catch-up, like, a couple of weeks later, they won't know the difference. So, just a bit of background for those who didn't listen last time, there was a pilot episode in 2010, which was all about Dirk looking for a neighbour's missing cat, and Gordon Way, obviously not quite the same Gordon Way from the books, but he went missing, and there was Macduff as well involved, and Susan, and they were different to how they were in the books. And the two unrelated cases of Gordon disappearing and Henry disappearing ended up being related in the end in a sort of interesting, interconnected way. This is basically the next one. And so it's directed by Tom Shankland. It was Damon Thomas who directed the pilot, but Tom Shankland directed all three of the full series episodes that came in 2012. And written again by Howard Oberman, who, of course, is the series creator.
So that provides a nice link between the pilot, which was written by Howard Oberman as well, and the full series, which was directed by Damon, but the full series directed by Tom. So this provides that overlap, a link back via the writer and a link forward by the director.
So here's the recap. And remember, the episodes are all available on DVD, on eBay or wherever, or on certain streaming services like Amazon Prime has some of the episodes. And if you're really stuck, you can just go on Dailymotion. And Daniel Pemberton's soundtrack, of course, is available on iTunes for about £8 or something like that. Or I think there's also a physical copy you can get too. Here we go. So this is the recap. Dirk is hired by a paranoid conspiracy theorist, Mr. Edwards, who believes that the Pentagon are trying to kill him. Mr. Edwards calls Dirk and Macduff one day for help, but Dirk is distracted by a bizarre late Valentine's Day card calling him a pig. By the time they arrive, their client has already been murdered. Dirk steals a packet of mints and some money off of Mr. Edwards' corpse to compensate for his check bouncing. When Macduff discovers the reason for this, Edwards' accounts simply do not add up. Mr. Edwards' wife asks Dirk to find a software prototype that her husband was working on, which Dirk realizes is Reason, software which can be used to logically justify almost anything, even invading Switzerland, and that the Pentagon would of course be highly interested in. Emma Reynolds then shows up at the detective agency and hires Dirk on a seemingly tangential case to investigate her husband Oliver's affair. Oliver explains to Dirk that his affair happened after it was predicted in his horoscope, and he hires Dirk to investigate why it is these horoscopes keep coming true. An encounter with Jilks reveals that Mrs. Edwards actually died a year ago. Dirk and Macduff figure out that the fake Mrs. Edwards they met must be a Pentagon agent. They go to confront her, only for her to abruptly drop dead in front of them. After escaping the killer, Dirk is able to prove to Oliver that his horoscope isn't coming true by setting up a fake horoscope which he falls for, proving that his belief in the accuracy of his horoscopes is a self-fulfilling prophecy. After finishing the packet of mints the next day, Dirk discovers the software prototype at the bottom. Oliver returns, convinced by his horoscopes that he's going to die and with no memory of meeting Dirk the day before. And then held at gunpoint by Mr. Edwards' accountant, Matthew, who Dirk realizes was stealing money from Mr. Edwards without his knowledge. Matthew explains that he thought Mr. Edwards hiring a private detective meant he was onto him, and that's why he killed him. Oliver then attempts to end his life on his own terms, and Dirk explains that Oliver's erratic behavior and loss of memory are clear symptoms of a brain tumor. Oliver then slips out the window, landing on top of the accountant. Emma meets Dirk at the hospital, and he gives her the good news that her husband will make a full recovery, but she tears up Dirk's bill. Dirk consoles himself with still having the valuable prototype, but realizes he's been pickpocketed by a Pentagon agent. Macduff discovers that Janice sent the Valentine's Day card, and that she has an extreme love-hate relationship with Dirk. The episode ends with Dirk and Macduff discovering that the USA has already used reason to successfully justify an invasion of Mexico. End of episode. So the regular cast that reoccurred here was Stephen Mangan as Dirk Gently, Darren Boyd as Richard Macduff, Jason Watkins as Detective Inspector Jilks, and Lisa Jackson as Janice Pierce. So there was no Susan in this episode, played by Helen Maxendale. Although obviously there is a one scene where
she's referenced. Yeah,
yeah. Macduff calls Susan to, when he thinks that they're going to be killed because they're under surveillance from the Pentagon. And the guest cast for this episode, we had Miranda Raisin as Kate, the fake Mrs. Edwards. Kazima Shaw as Emma Reynolds. Paul Ritter as Oliver Reynolds. Colin McFarlane as Terrence Brown, the astrologist. And Kenneth Collard as Matthew, Mr. Edwards' accountant. So what were your thoughts on this episode then, Nima?
I really enjoyed it. It felt like a very fun romp. And that was true for the first episode as well, but I guess this has the benefit of the actors have played the role once before, the same writer, but you know, he has had the practice of writing it and seeing the performance. And you know, in TV in general, that always helps once you get that level of feedback. You see what you've done on set and how it's presented and how it's been received by the audience. So that then informs future performances and future writing and so forth. And I think that shows through that it just felt that little bit more polished. All the actors all felt a little bit more comfortable in the roles that they were performing. Dirk gives his several times when he's brings up the invoice to different people at different times, or you know, maybe you could be my client, and he gives that grin where he's just like, yeah, the grin's like, you could be my client, right?
Yeah, there is almost that kind of levelness, especially when he hires both of the Mr. and Mrs. Reynolds,
yes.
For what is essentially the same case, although they're in different files.
He insists that they're different.
But they're also connected.
Yeah, but they're not connected to each other. They're connected to this other case or you know, his justifications.
There is something winning about that, that kind of manner. I love especially when he reveals to Oliver that his horoscopes are a bunk. And then Oliver starts like breaking down and realizing that that everything he's done has been a complete mistake and that his life doesn't make sense anymore. And he's sort of falling apart and Dirk suddenly just slides the envelope across and says, "My invoice."
Yeah. the previous podcast, we talked about how this Dirk seems to be a little bit more driven by money than book Dirk. And that's just as true in this episode as it was in the pilot, but it's more acceptable now. And I think that's part of that performance, the writing and the directing and the performance, that it's that I'm in it for the money is presented with that, you know, the glossy but extremely cheesy grin and the quiet, the invoice. So somehow it works.
It ends differently to the pilot as well, because in that he obviously saw Macduff's money, and here he's obviously, this is 2 years later, so he's obviously exhausted Macduff's funds and the agency is broke, which Macduff makes a reference to a couple of times.
Yeah.
And yeah, and this one ends with him, he doesn't get the money, and it actually ends with the US invading Mexico. I guess the idea that it doesn't really matter what president it is, there's always this thing that the US is this power that's just going to do whatever it wants and tyrannize. It's definitely a UK view of America in this episode.
Yeah,
especially the Pentagon and their intelligence.
Yeah, I think it would be a danger to read too much into this episode's view of American imperialism effectively, and military might and the current state of world events. Dare I say that something is a coincidence when we're talking about Dirk, but I think that's just a coincidence.
Well, Dirk says there's no such thing as coincidences later in the episode. So I didn't really say what I thought about this episode. I remember really enjoying it first time I watched it. And I just want to say as well, when we're talking about that the episode feeling a bit more polished than the pilot, they updated the title sequence. And unfortunately, it's covered up a lot of Dirk's messages, but you can still sort of see them in the background. It's a bit more dynamic and faster paced because before it sort of scrolled over the board. Here it sort of spins around. There's a few more sound effects in there. There's even, I think, next to the picture of Jason Watkins' name when he's in the cast list, they put a picture of what looks like the Electric Monk on a sort of red background. And I did like that. And I really, the cold open to me right from that felt a lot more dynamic, slick and dynamic as well, because there's obviously the package. The gag is that they think it's a bomb. And McDuff asks, why don't we call the bomb squad if we think it's a bomb? And then he says, and Dirk says something like, accidentally blow up a man's wife and there's a 30% chance he'll forgive you, but accidentally blow up their dog and
yes.
a bomb squad sniffer dog or something. And that reminded me a little bit of, and there's a little bit to this version of Dirk that reminds me of Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons, though sort of really not so much the incompetent side of him, but the sort of the fact that he's this lawyer who's sort of desperate, there's a sort of shady kind of desperately trying to save money at every turn kind of thing. Especially there's one line where I think in The Simpsons where Lionel Hutz says something like, we got this judge coming out for this case. What's wrong about this judge? Well, I kind of accidentally ran over his dog. And by accidentally, I mean repeatedly, and by dog, I mean son. Which I always thought was a killer line. That line that was very reminiscent of that joke to me, although I think The Simpsons one is slightly better. But and I think that stood out to me is when they get in there are a lot more interesting kind of camera angles when there's this aerial angle and they first get in the princess. They do a little bit of a handbrake turn on the Mr. Reynolds driveway, which I thought was pretty awesome. Pretty hard to do a handbrake turn on gravel, I would have thought, in an old underpowered Austin Princess. I almost felt they were trying to briefly sort of make Dirk and McDuff look somewhat cool, even though it's sort of a comedy, which I kind of like, to be honest, especially when they sort of do, when the police had left after the cold open title sequence, where Dirk and McDuff break in. They have this really cool looking shot of Dirk throwing the flower pot through the window. They walk in, then suddenly there's what we think is Mrs. Edwards just standing there looking a bit shocked. And I thought that was a really good sort of reveal. And also the reveal of the Pentagon, even though they reused the globe zooming out shot from the end of the pilot. Yeah, there was definitely an effort to make everything look a bit more slick, a bit more polished, even like the down to the 3D animation of Stephen Mangan spinning around. It looks a little bit cheap by nowadays, but back then I remember it looking quite cool.
So going back on the princess doing the power slide on the gravel, it did faintly remind me of Gene Hunt's car in Life on Mars, which was a few years earlier than this. And
Ashes to Ashes as well.
He was in Ashes to Ashes as well, but very much in both of those. You know, he was the brash detective, and you know, his car was a character in the series. For anybody that hasn't seen it, I highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun. And it almost felt like there was just doing a, like, Dirk's got a car, so let's have one scene where, you know, they hop in the car and it powers off and it goes to their destination and they power slide in and, you know, it's like they've got the car. And then every other time, of course, the car is, work, and it doesn't. And it creates that false expectation if you don't remember the pilot from 2 years earlier at that point.
Yeah.
So I think that was...
They've definitely set up so you didn't need to watch the pilot beforehand, which I thought was a good choice.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into a bit more about the actual plot. There's one thing that's interesting. I can't tell if it's brilliant or just bollocks. But the way that Dirk immediately rejects astrology as nonsense and the way he debunks it to Oliver is obviously by setting up a fake horoscope. And then he sort of says, but you're using them as instructions rather than predictions. When you believed it was coming true, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, was the line, I think. But there's also Dirk's belief in the fundamental interconnectedness of all things. You could just as easily dismiss that by similar terms as being a coincidence completely, or In fact, Macduff does several times when Dirk first starts talking about Zen navigation. Macduff's like, "Wow, that's bollocks," and Dirk's like, "Oh, but it clearly works."
So in the books, the guy writing the horoscope knew Dirk personally, and so was writing Dirk's horoscope specifically for him.
And he was annoyed that it kept coming true. I think
he was annoyed at it, but in the long dark tea time, he buys the newspaper and immediately turns to the horoscope. And it's not because he believed that chunks of planets and stars, you know, billions of miles away, have any impact on his day to day. It's because he knew the guy that was writing the horoscope and was writing them specifically for him. And you know, the entry was, "You know, you wear a silly hat, and we'll have a bad day." And so the Dirk not believing in horoscopes is. That's straight from the book. That's something that Douglas wrote and wasn't resolved necessarily in the books either. In terms of headcanon explaining why Dirk has this fundamental belief in the interconnectedness of all things and follows their navigation and advocates it quite strongly and yet simultaneously says that horoscopes are completely bollocks, I think there's two interlocking reasons that you could argue that makes sense. And one is that while he does believe in the interconnectedness of all things, I think it's fairly reasonable to say that the further away a thing is, the less it's going to be impacting. So, following somebody that happens to be driving down the same street at the same time as you is going to be a lot more connected to the case at hand than a planet or a star, you know, billions of miles away. And the second is that I'm pretty confident that Dirk would not think that any horoscope writer would actually have an understanding of the interconnectedness of all things to make a horoscope actually useful.
Okay, especially in this, when it's specifically established that it's done by a computer program,
essentially. Yeah.
And that seems another running theme of these two computer programs in this episode. And I just wondered, it was interesting that Dirk is so insistent that astrology is complete bollocks, that Dirk applies huge scrutiny to this astrology that he doesn't apply to his own philosophy. This is a scene I really liked. It's quite small, but Dirk attempting to get free pizza by initially sending the delivery man to the wrong address, so it takes over an hour to arrive, meaning that according to the leaflet, he'll get it for free. And Macduff says, but I don't think it counts when you send them to the wrong address. And the delivery man disagrees with him, and they have a fight, and most of the pizza ends up on the bonnet of the princess.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm surprised that Dirk never tries to do in the books as well, because it feels like something he would definitely do for free pizza, because he loves it so much. And I love that they brought back that aspect of him just being obsessed with fatty foods like pizza.
Yeah, there were shots of in the car, just pizza boxes stacked up in the princess.
Absolutely, yeah. You mentioned last time there was the Janice, in terms of where you felt that the relationship with Dirk came across as sort of having undertones of an abusive relationship.
Yes.
They expand upon that a little more on sort of crush that she's very kind of...
They do. She clearly has a very literal love-hate relationship with him, and has a apathy towards her. That may be not quite the right...
They use the moment from Detective Agent where, if we pay her, she'll stop showing up, because the only reason she keeps turning up is in the hope that she will get paid.
Yeah.
Like, do I have to do all the thinking, Macduff?
Yes.
Was it more or less comfortable this time?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I think we see a bit more feistiness from her.
Yeah, her actions justify my initial thoughts that it feels like she's in an abusive relationship, and Dirk's participation in that is not redeemed, but it's not any worse. The line about, "Yo, why would I pay her? Yo, then she'll stop showing up," is, yeah, hasn't aged well once you start looking at it from this angle. As an additional plot element to the whole episode, somebody is sending nasty Valentine's Day cards late to Dirk was maybe 3 or 4 minutes of the whole episode. Just kind of got it provided.
It didn't feel like that sequence. Difficult a mystery. It seemed like, yeah. Oh, it has to be Janice.
Yeah.
Who else could it be?
Yeah. It almost felt like, you know, it was added in just to create a sense of, let's have a little bit of drama in the first couple of minutes with, is this box a bomb, in the opening, in the pre-title sequence. And it provides a reason to bring Janice back, and it fills out, I don't know, 3 to 5 minutes tops of the episode. If the Janice love-hate Dirk was completely excised from the episode in an edit, I wouldn't feel that it was particularly missed.
Yeah, and I do also like the moment where they think they're being followed by the Pentagon immediately after leaving Mr. Edwards' house, and they rush into the office and grab whatever's to hand to sort of fight back with, and McDuff's like, what about Janice? And Dirk's like, nah, she'll be all right.
Yeah.
And Janice, they don't even tell her what's going on. She's just like doing her nails or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, in terms of Dirk not telling people who's going on, it's not exclusive to Janice. He doesn't tell McDuff what's going on either. McDuff explicitly says, you know, if you told me that there was a camera there, because it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean...
But you can't deny the chair had it coming when he tore it apart.
It was a convenient way of finding the bug. And that was that was neat. But
I will say one thing, that I do love how the damaged chair stays in the office. It stays damaged for the rest of the series. So there's that brilliant kind of continuity there. The back's just like ripped off.
It is interesting too, just a different point on the whole episode, is that the two very minor points from Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul that came through into this was Zen Navigation and the horoscopes.
What about the client being murdered at the start before Dirk got there?
Yes.
That was also sort of. I hadn't thought of that.
But yes. But Reason as the software, of course, comes from the first book, which was software that McDuff had worked on and created. And in this story, it's because it's, despite the name, we have a completely different Richard McDuff. So in this case, that piece of software is a plot element that was very, again, very minor in the first book, has come through and to become a very major plot element, and Richard McDuff is along as well in an unrelated capacity.
It's sort of weird how Dirk has to explain what the Reason software is to McDuff.
Yeah.
Who in the book was the one who invented the Reason software. You're right, there is cognitive dissonance because of the almost the way they've debuffed McDuff in terms of his intelligence and his sort of job.
He's there to be the companion in, you know, to use Doctor Who type terminology, that he's there to let Dirk explain things to Richard and thereby explain it to the audience.
I'm going to say my favourite line from this and my personal favourite sequence. My favourite line probably has to be when Oliver Reynolds is about to get in the car and he says, oh, do I smell brie? And then Dirk sort of takes it out of his pocket and he says, oh, it makes a handy portable snack. I find brie to be the least controversial of cheeses.
That's a fantastic line. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's not the strongest smell. The only thing is that it's quite runny, brie, so I'm not sure it's actually the most handy portable snack if it does using cheeses, but I can see why Dirk likes it, because I love brie as well. So I almost felt kind of Wallace and Gromit, the kind of obsession with cheese there.
I'm a camembert person myself, but the difference is too subtle.
My personal favorite sequence for me has to be just after the fake Mrs. Edwards is killed and they escape from the house. They have a brief argument about whether they are running away from the killer or trying to confront the killer.
Yeah, and they, while trying to find the front door to the house and, you know, running up and downstairs and...
Yeah, it's a little bit chaotic, and I like how McDuff is really calm at the start of that sequence. It's like, we're trying to catch the killer. Well, because he doesn't realise the killer's shooting at them. And Dirk's like, no, we're running away from the killer. Yeah, and then they're getting the princess and attempt to leave, and there's a scene where they both start panicking because, like, oh, we can't tell the police because, like Jolk said, we're his tethered goat, and
Dirk is all like, we are untethered.
No, there's that moment where Dirk panics, and then he sort of, you can tell he's sort of figuring out what to do, sort of as he's saying it. Yeah, but what if? The noose has just slipped from our necks, and I thought that was a brilliant moment because we see the mask kind of slip back on and he sort of gets into that almost sort of persona that he puts on in terms of to sort of appear really confident, and you can still see him bigging himself up a little bit, and I thought that was really interesting in terms of not just quite funny in terms of him being like Zen Navigation's brilliant. And the funniest thing is that obviously, the car they follow turns out to be the murderer's car. So, after shooting them, he has somehow gone around the back and escaped while they were arguing about what to do, which I think is even funnier in retrospect. And the way that he's really paranoid, because what was I just shooting at them and now they're following me? So, the whole discussion about whether they're following the murderer or running away from him and still they are actually following the murderer, even though they thought they were running away, which it's all a bit of a misunderstanding, which makes it even funnier, I think.
A observation on Dirk's character. I think, by and large, Dirk's character was a pretty solid continuation of the first episode. I said before, that improvement from the feedback of editing and performance. I felt like the way that I would describe this Dirk is the book Dirk with extra energy.
Yeah.
In this episode, more than the pilot, it felt like the same or a very similar Dirk to the book Dirk. You know, with the aforementioned slightly more caring about money, mercenary-type side to him. But overall, apart from that, the overall sense of this Dirk was a lot closer to the book Dirk, but with more energy. Book Dirk, I think, is more like, I'm lazy, I'm not going to run. You know, why would I run? Things will work out. And this Dirk is like, we're on the case. This is exciting. Come on, let's go there.
You could definitely see where Sam Barnett's performance got sort of influenced from, I think.
And that to me is the next logical step, is that each step is the previous Dirk plus some more energy. Let's make him a bit bouncier, a bit more energetic, a bit more frenetic.
I think you're right. If he was a bit less energetic, then it wouldn't work for the kind of plot that he's in, because it does require Dirk to sort of rush into things and not explain things. Book Dirk often didn't explain things either, but
with a book, you can Douglas was able to provide interest and energy with clever writing and clever ways of describing the world and events, and the writing provides the energy, not necessarily the characters. And on TV, you need the characters to provide the energy. It's a lot harder. Or sometimes the cinematography can do it and the editing, but in a TV show, that's a lot harder to do too. So you end up relying on the characters provide the energy and maintain that interest and audience focus.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, because I haven't really looked at very much touch paper to light in terms of things that I didn't like about this episode. But I think if there's one thing I would say, it's that the characters in this don't feel that memorable. I'm not talking about Dirk and Macduff. I mean, I'm talking more about the guest stars, like the fake Mrs. Edwards or Emma Reynolds, Oliver Reynolds. Oliver's, of all of them, he's the most memorable.
A little bit.
But even then, he's a little bit of a stereotype of those sorts of, midlife crisis kind of guy. Obviously, he has the brain tumor, which sort of explains some of his behavior as well. But and that none of them acted particularly badly. I think they're all acted quite well. Kenneth Collard as Miss Edwards' accountant is a little bit over the top, but that is kind of funny because of the way he's revealed. So let's go into the themes very quickly. I think the most interesting theme here is they set up a sort of dichotomy between chaos and order, because on the one side we have horoscopes and conspiracy theories as representing forces of order, which help people like Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Edwards to sort of make sense of their lives the way they sort of want to see them. Whereas on the other hand, we have Dirk, the self-professed man of science, and his fundamental interconnectedness of all things, representing chaos, or sort of chance, randomness, and chaos seems to be the sort of trifecta that Dirk keeps sort of pointing to consistently. And Dirk says that because this is sort of the sort of natural way of the universe, this will always lead them to the right outcome. And there are a couple of quotes from Dirk exchanges here that I think are quite revealing of this. So, conspiracy theories and horoscopes are all a product of the same ill-conceived desire to impose order on the world. What their proponents fail to understand is we must embrace chaos if we are to come to an understanding of the world in all of its complexity. That's from Dirk. And then Dirk to Macduff. So, that's the beauty of holistic detection, Macduff. We're getting closer. Even when it appears, we're moving further away. And then there's the discussion with Oliver. Near the end of the episode, Oliver's looking at Dirk's case pause. What's all this? Is this supposed to make any sense? And Dirk's like, what's this obsession with order? There is too much order. We must embrace chaos. And then he goes on the big rant about embracing the chaos. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think there's that. It's interesting that you've written it as chaos and order, because I read that and that's not wrong, but I read that and immediately with chaos I start thinking of chaos theory, which is a perception of chaos, but it comes from quite often from quite simple mathematical principles, and you get this you have a pattern and you put a little bit more energy into the system. The pattern becomes a bit more complex. You put a bit more energy into a system and suddenly it's chaotic.
You're right, because he's always trying to provoke a reaction. He always says, oh, we need to provoke your reaction from other elements of the web. In this episode particularly, like say when he throws the brick at the accountant's car.
Yeah.
To sort of get him to reveal himself essentially as the killer.
It's not what I was thinking of before when I was describing Dirk as providing energy to the episode, but it matches that now that I've thought it.
So the other one that I noticed was just a general kind of conspiracy and paranoia that sort of runs through the episode, that Mr. Edwards is convinced that the Pentagon have him under surveillance, which we immediately find out is true just before the titles, and that they're going to kill him, which obviously we find at the end is false. Dirk and Macduff quickly become paranoid that the Pentagon are following them. Initially, there's a fake out, and it's actually Emma Reynolds going to the same place as them at the same time. Then they discover a bug in Macduff's new chair, and there's another fake out where it turns out to be Jilks and the police. I quite like the scene with Jilks in this, where he looks like he's going to arrest them, and then he sort of says, well, no, actually, I think I'll let you go. But yeah. your insane bungling is bound to get you killed. And from there, I'll undoubtedly find new leads to pursue. There's just the kind of jolliness to him that he's sort of, well, you know, I can't stop you guys. You do what you want. And because eventually it will probably help me.
I like how the whole Pentagon angle from Dirk's perspective, you know, he bounces between dismissing it completely. It's like, oh, no, you're not being followed by the Pentagon. And
the grown man who cried Pentagon.
Yeah, you know, and then he has moments like, oh, is that actually happening? You know, he finds the bug in the chair, and then you know, it's Jilks, and he's like, oh, no, it's not that at all. And you know, so then right at the end, of course, he's being pickpocketed, and he's like, oh, and the very final scene, the US government has invaded Mexico, and it's obvious to them that it's the Reason software. And clearly at that point, he would be accepting that he has been followed, or the Pentagon is aware of him to some degree, but it's been a back and forth for the whole episode. You know.
Yeah. Just finishing the conspiracy and paranoia list here. Oliver Reynolds is convinced that the horoscope predicting his death will come true, so much so that he believes he can't escape it and is prepared to jump out the window to end my life on my own terms. Although ultimately he survives and his brain tumor is treated in time. And then finally, Matthew the accountant is paranoid that Mr. Edwards hired Dirk and Macduff to investigate who was stealing money from him, when Mr. Edwards was in fact just paranoid himself about the Pentagon following him. And of course, I want to add to that list, I think Oliver Reynolds' wife, Emma, is paranoid about him having the affair, and that turns out to be true as well.
Yeah.
I think we should get into the references now. So Dirk and Macduff responding to Mr. Edwards' phone call, only to find him already murdered, mirrors the beginning of Long Dark Tea Time, where Dirk sleeps through Jeffrey Ansey's murder and also arrives much too late. Dirk explains the Zen navigation technique and uses it twice in the episode, which is also from Long Dark Tea Time.
I noticed that he used it while walking, which is, I don't think, the case in the books. It was only ever used while driving. So I thought that was a nice extra twist.
Dirk's real name, Flagelli, is revealed in the Pentagon profile of him. There are also a couple of other names, but I'm not sure if they were references to anything.
I didn't recognize them. There was maybe somebody can contact us, let us know. So it was Maurice Brown and Philippe Gasquet.
And it also mentioned very quickly his education. So they mentioned that he'd been expelled from SEDS, which is obviously in both this and the book. And there was another thing in between, which I forget.
The Liberian Military Academy with honors.
Oh, yes.
And St. Winifred County Primary. Yeah, so
two expelled from St. Winifred Primary School as well. Yeah, so that was a good little Easter egg, I thought. The Reason software from Holistic Detective Agency shows up with a very similar explanation to the book. Difference here is that Reason is developed by Mr. Edwards rather than Macduff. And also it's interesting at the end that in both the novel and this, I think the US gets the government they buy out Way Forward in the book, or the original Way Forward company, but in this they sort of nick it. So there's definitely a sort of continuity there, and that the US government do getting the software by whatever means possible. There's some political satire here. Dirk says to Macduff that the justification for the weapon of mass destruction leading to the 2003 invasion of Iraq was invented by computer software and has subsequently been discredited due to the fact that the emerged were in fact no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Yep.
Which I thought was interesting, especially because a year in between the pilot and this episode, Stephen Mangan was in a film made by a bunch of comedians, so Comic Strip Presents. They made a movie called The Hunt for Tony Blair, where Stephen Mangan played Tony Blair in that, and it was sort of almost a kind of pastiche of older black and white On the Run Alfred Hitchcock kind of films, except with Tony Blair. So I thought that was sort of interesting to link in with that from a sort of actor perspective.
Yeah.
Dirk calling for pizza whilst on a stakeout is referenced to Holistic Detective Agency, where he buys a pizza for Macduff, and in both versions it's by far his favourite food, as evidenced by the used pizza boxes in the rear window of the Princess, as you pointed out. Oliver Reynolds' horoscopes are referenced to the Great Zaganza's Dirk-specific horoscopes in Long Dark Tea Time, which also always come true. Terrence Brown has a poster of himself, which is styled on Barack Obama's 2008 Yes We Can election poster. And of course, at the end of the year, Obama got elected for his second term. So
yeah,
it's interesting that they're trying to show that Terrence Brown was trying to, that was sort of the way he saw himself in the vein of Obama. Dirk going in disguise as the man from the water company and putting on a voice is an allusion to Long Dark Tea Time, where he disguises himself as an old woman whilst posing as a fortune teller.
Yep.
Dirk's horoscope predicting that Oliver Reynolds would have an encounter with a rhinoceros is referenced to Desmond the Rhino in Salmon of Doubt, who the Great Zaganza also correctly predicts Dirk will have an encounter with. And also another reference to Salmon of Doubt. So there's four in this, actually, surprisingly. Things are getting nicely out of control, which is a line Dirk also says in, I think he says it to Kate over the phone in Salmon of Doubt. This is an interesting one. I wonder what your thoughts on this. Mr. Edwards being stolen from by his accountant is eerily
similar to a real-life event
in the mid-1980s during the writing of the original Dirk Gently novel, where Douglas Adams' accountant stole a six-figure sum from him. So this is a quote from Douglas Adams about that, being stolen from by his accountant. He said, "The shock was indescribable. I thought I was rich, and the next moment, I thought I was bankrupt. I don't understand money at all. I just understand shopping." And then in the episode, Dirk says, "The check bounced. Mr. Edwards was broke." And Macduff says, "I thought he was rich." And Mr. Dirk says, "Mr. Edwards believed he was rich. Money, 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 you see. Mr. Edwards didn't know that he was being stolen from. Only his accountant could keep that from him."
Yeah, it's there's definitely some strong parallels there. I don't know enough about TV writing to know if that's the sort of thing that would be.
If Howard Oman was going for it, that's actually really clever, I think. And that made me appreciate that twist a lot more, to be honest, looking at it from that kind of perspective as a sort of clever reference to, like, this is real life. Even though Mr. Edwards has no real other kind of connection to Douglas, that. Obviously, it's quite a dark episode in Douglas's life, given that the accountant in the end ended up killing himself before Douglas could take legal action against him to sort of sort the whole thing out. It's weird because for the pilot, 1.1 million watched it, I think, overall. I wasn't sure if that included iPlayer figures as well. But this one, the only figure I could find was 900,000 for the pilot and then 844,000 for the sort of live BBC Four figures. So it was a little bit of a drop. I guess that's sort of natural after a 2-year wait, but it was still a little bit of, it didn't seem like that big a drop, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have been a disappointment or not.
And definitely there's a bit of a drop off for the next episode as well, the second one, which is Rig Shane, because I think that's the best one, to be honest, and we'll cover that next time. Obviously, we'll hear from you, your own reaction was from the time, from the Douglas Adams archive.
I just remembered that a moment ago. So my post about it, having seen it in March, so I said, "I quite enjoyed it, really. This is spoiler-free regarding any specifics. A lot of liberties have been taken with characters, and story too. In fact, I doubt anyone but the DNA fans will really notice the bits that are DNA originals versus the wholly new bits. But some things that were once a plot are now little more than footnotes, and vice versa. Elements that once applied to one character are transposed to another, and so on. I'm looking forward to the next one now. Final summary, if the next two keep the same quality, I'll be happy enough, but won't be clamoring for more, but neither will I be mourning it as a travesty. I'll just be happy as it is." So that was my review at the time.
That sounds fairly positive. It doesn't sound like you changed your view too much, to be honest.
No, I think actually I'm a little bit more positive towards it in the long view.
So thanks everyone for listening. Keep in mind you can keep in touch with us via our website, which is dirkgentlypodcast.wordpress.com. No www. at the start, just the just type in Dirt Drinker Podcast at WordPress.com, and you also got our email function where you can send emails to us if you want to get in contact with us. Got any questions or interesting things you want us to read out, then we'll quite happily do that.
We hang out on the there's a Douglas Adams Discord server, which the link for which can be found on the R Douglas Adams subreddit. It's a pinned
R slash Douglas Adams.
R slash Douglas Adams. Yes.
Yes, and also I've definitely decided now that we are entering the British Podcasting Awards. So look for us there once I've got the entry all set up, the Electric Monks Podcast. And if you're one of the judges and you're listening to this, please vote for us.
if you're one of the judges, obviously we love you and we think you're fantastic people, whoever you are.
Absolutely, yes. My Twitter account is at Edward J. Hunter. I usually talk about motor racing, but also Dirt Generally projects. I've got an interesting project I'm doing at the moment. It's going to be an audio drama prequel to the 2016 BBC America show, and I'm going to try and get fans involved in maybe changing the script a little bit and also acting in it, so doing the voices for several different characters, including a young version of Dirk himself.
It's definitely of interest if you want to know what Dirk and Bart and Riggins and others were like many years earlier than we saw. I've got a Twitter account as well. So I'm at sub_ETHR. It's pronounced as sub-ether, but I have to spell it out because I realized after I made it that it's a bit awkward to just say it and expect people to know what it is.
Next time we'll be doing episode 2, as we said earlier. We hope you enjoyed episode 1, I Want to Invade Switzerland. So I don't, by the way. Any Swiss listeners alarmed by that, you can calm down now.
Yes.
It was all just an elaborate joke.
Swiss listeners, we love you individually, especially if you're judging podcasts.
Without further ado, time to leave. So goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.